Hebrews 12, we'll read the first 11 verses of the chapter. This is the word of the Lord. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Thus far we read God's word in Hebrews 12. Now we turn to Proverbs 23, and the text this morning is verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. In the world in which we live today, discipline, and particularly spanking or using the rod, is out of fashion. There are many things that go in and out of fashion in the world. Colors go in and out of fashion in the world. The avocado green appliances that my parents had when I was first living at home, they're no longer in style. The same thing is true with ideas. Ideas go in and out of style in the world. At one time, it was acceptable for a man to talk about taking his son maybe out to the woodshed to spank him. Or maybe he would use more rough language and talk about a beating. But now, in the world, that idea is out of fashion. Instead, the world says we are more enlightened today. Spanking is barbaric. They say it leads to violence. But instead, the right way is to use communication and even manipulation. Maybe they wouldn't call it that, but that's the strategy of many psychologists today, use manipulation to get your children to act the way that you want them to act. But we have to understand this morning that the Word of God warns that we, His people, must not follow the traditions of men. That's a warning that comes out in Colossians 2, verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That passage teaches us that we must not follow the cultural trends of our society, but instead, in all things, we are called to follow Christ. And when we're called to follow Christ, what that means is we are called to follow His Word. We must live our lives in accordance to the infallible standard of the Word of God. That's the important backdrop for the word that we consider this morning concerning the use of the rod concerning spanking. The question for us this morning is not what does society say? What does the world say? What do psychologists today say? The question for us this morning is what does the Word of God teach about this? What does the Word of God teach about how we are to train and to instruct our children? And now in this very particular way, what does the Word of God say about how we are to discipline our children? We have to understand this morning that the Word of God that we consider is not simply a suggestion. It's not a question for us of whether or not we find that this way works. But the Word of God says, in most instances, this is the way that is to be followed with our covenant children. God demands that we as parents use the rod. This Word of God this morning is not only for us as parents. It's for you children too. Because you children and young people are going to hear why it is that your parents use or have used the rod on you. It's because God demands it. And it's a word for grandparents too, who many times need to encourage their own children to continue to use the rod when they're frustrated in the parenting work that God has called them to do. It is a word for the church to be reminded of the way in which we are to discipline the covenant children that God has given to us. So this morning, we consider the biblical perspective of the rod of correction. And we're going to see this morning that the rod is a vital, important, and in fact necessary tool for Christian parents to use in the teaching of their children. There's a connection between the backside and the hearts of our children by the grace of God. And that's something important for us to remember as well this morning. That's where we'll end up this morning. With what we just sang, we need God to bless that. We need God to bless that correction. We must not think that with the rod we can actually change our children or change the hearts of our children. We must see it as a tool that God has called us to use in obedience to Him. So that's what we look at this morning. The use of the rod and that we must use it with our children. Second, we're going to look at how to use it in a right and biblical way. And then finally, we look at the result of that proper use of the rod in the lives of our covenant children. So with that in mind, I call your attention this morning to the rod of correction. The rod of correction. We look first at the necessary calling. Secondly, at the twofold manner. There are two important scriptural ways we're going to look at which this rod must be exercised. And then finally, at the blessed result. The question for us this morning may be this. Is the rod really necessary? Is it really necessary to spank our children? Aren't there other ways? What's behind this idea of the rod? The Word of God says it is necessary that covenant parents use the rod. And here's why. Because the hearts of our children are deceitful and they are bound up with folly. They are. That's true of our covenant children. We know how it is that God works in the line of generations. We know that blessed truth of the covenant. We just sang a versification of Psalm 127. And Psalm 127 verse 3 says that children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a blessing from the Lord. That reminds us that these covenant children are God's children in the end. For God is the one who works in the line of generations to save His children from our children. We know that God works in the hearts of children. He gives the life of Jesus Christ in the hearts even of children. The Holy Spirit works in the hearts of children even before they understand or comprehend these things. That's the powerful grace of God. But that doesn't take away from the reality that there is deceit and folly in the hearts of our children. That's what the Word of God says. If you go back to Proverbs 22, we read of that in verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That idea of deceitfulness in the heart is what you find in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have that same thing in our hearts as adults, but children have it in their hearts as well. And so that's why it is that we must use the rod of correction. These covenant children that God has given to us have sin in them. They have sinful natures. That's important to recognize this morning. That means that we reject categorically the teachings of philosophers today who tell us that children are born morally and ethically neutral. Many believe today that children, when they're born into this world, are born as a blank tablet. And everything that comes to them is from their surroundings. It's a matter of their environment. So if you want children who are better behaved, you must give to them a better environment. If you want children who are better behaved, it's all about the instruction that you give to those children. It's all about what they're going to experience in this world. If they're born into a very difficult and hard setting, then you can figure that those children are going to grow up in such a way that they may be disobedient and rebellious. But if you change their environment, then things will be different. What that means then is that the savior of children is knowledge and instruction. You see the ramifications of that in society today. If children, young people, do things that are awful, if they commit crimes, so often the blame goes to society. There's no personal responsibility. It's society. That's the problem. You see that ramification as well in the way that parents think about their children. So many parents think that their children can do no wrong. They're angels. They're saints. They're almost perfect. Everybody else is wrong. Well, as those who understand and know in our hearts the truth of total depravity, we know that there is folly bound up in the hearts of our children. These children, whom we love dearly, who are precious and beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully made, they have folly in their hearts. What's that folly? What folly is not childishness. It's not the fact that sometimes they spill their milk at the supper table, or sometimes they're clumsy and they fall and they bump their head, or they skin their knees and their elbows. That's not folly. But folly describes one who has no fear of God and will not hear reproof. The fool does not submit to authority. The fool runs his life by his wants and desires. We see that in our children. That's what they would like to do. They would like to run their lives by their wants and desires. What do they learn to say so early? I want this. I want that. A mother can have it as she goes to the grocery store. I want this. I want that. Go by the toy aisle. I want this. I want that. They would like to rule their lives by their wants and desires. Children by nature don't want to be under authority. We as parents know that. They don't want to be under that authority. They want to be the authority. They want to run your lives. They want the house to run around them. They want the center of the world to be on them. Even little babies have that. They can rebel against authority. If they don't have food right when they want it, they'll scream and cry and throw a fit. Try to put a hat on them in the wintertime, very early age. They're trying to push that off. They don't want it on them. We see that in our children. What this means is that children left to themselves will run to destruction. A child left to himself or herself will only show in life hatred of God and his neighbor. What this means in a very practical way when it comes to the use of the rod is that we must not think that time is the cure for this rebellion and folly in the hearts of our children. Sometimes we think that. That may be the excuse that we use. The throwing a fit, kicking and screaming while he's tired. Well, the tiredness may not help, but that's not the problem. We may think that it's just a phase they're going through. Oh, he's in his terrible twos. She's in his terrible twos. Well, yeah, they're learning more and they're becoming more independent and learning to think on their own. That's certainly true. But that must not be an excuse to think that, well, it's just a matter of time. And if enough time passes, they're going to grow out of this. Children do not of themselves grow out of selfishness. Children of themselves do not grow out of rebellion. It's not just a stage that they are going through. And certainly we ought not to think that with our young people either. It's just a stage that they're going through. This is to be expected. That's not the way we are to look at our children. What we see in our children are problems of the heart. They're focused on the wrong things in their lives. And God uses us as parents to teach them in the right way. God uses us as parents to correct them. And we have to understand that rightly this morning. This is the backdrop for this command that comes in the text to use the rod of correction. Not to think that our children are saved by the use of the rod. The point is that God uses us as tools in His hand. And the tool that God gives us, one of the tools, is the rod of correction. So this morning we see that God calls us as parents to correct our children with a rod. God has given the rod for this condition of the heart. The rod is the God-given tool to rescue them from that way that leads to hell, as we read of that in verse 14 of the text. Let's understand the wording of the text. The text speaks of correction with a rod. That word correction means literally to correct with blows. To correct with blows. And the text says that that which is to be used is the rod. We should notice what a rod is. There are different ways in which this word is used in the Scriptures. A rod can be the staff of a spear or the handle of a spear. It can also be that which a king holds, a scepter. That's called a rod as well in the Scriptures, as a sign of authority that one who has royalty possesses. But also, it's an instrument used for physical discipline. A rod can be a wooden spoon, a stick, maybe even a thick ruler. But it's certainly not the hand. And that point has to be made this morning. Not the hand. We shouldn't spank our children with the hand. God says in His Word, the rod. There are reasons for that. One of them is just in a very practical thing. When we use the hand, I think often the hand hurts more than the backside hurts. Another reason is that when you use the hand, because there's more surface area, it takes quite a bit more to inflict pain upon the child. And it may actually jar them too much as a child by using the hand. God says here, the rod. Never in Scripture do you find that idea of the use of the hand to discipline children. God says, use the rod. And God made a part of the body to receive that blow of the rod. That part of the body is the backside. And there's a reason for that. Our desire as parents in the correction of our children is not that we would cause injury to our children. That's why it is that they must not be hit on their heads, must not be hit on their backs, they must not be hit in their stomachs. Never must we as parents use our fists on any part of our children's bodies. That's nothing less than child abuse. That is, abuse of children. We may not hit those other parts of the body as parents. But the rod is to be used on the backside. So when that rod is used on the backside, it's felt keenly by those children. It inflicts pain upon the children. It does. That's the point of the rod, that it actually inflicts pain upon the children, but it doesn't cause injury to them at all in that place that God has ordained for that rod to be used. And the idea of the rod is this. The rod points this out to you as parents. God has placed you as parents in a position of authority over your children to correct them and to teach them. The rod points out authority. God has put you as parents over your children. Children, that's what you must understand too. When your parents use the rod, God is saying to that He Himself has put those parents over you. And you parents have been given a responsibility, a great responsibility. Oh, we see and know that our children are blessings, and they are. Wonderful blessings. What a joy to hold those children. What a joy when you fathers come home from work and they're running to the door and they can't wait to see you and they embrace you and they want to play with you. That's a great blessing. But with those blessings come responsibilities. The responsibility of teaching, training, disciplining as well. And so this is the calling of parents. This Word of God that we consider this morning is to parents. Parents, you are the ones who use the rod. Only parents may use the rod. And this is to address the children that God has given. This is to address the folly that's in their hearts and the way of sin in which they walk. But there's one other thing to consider here. As we look at what the text says, we see in verse 13 it says, withhold not correction from the child. A question that may often arise is, okay, in using the rod, how long do you use the rod? When is a child too old not to use the rod? Well, you may be surprised to find out that this word child here has this idea. From infancy to the time when that child's considered an adult. From infancy to adulthood. Now, when is adulthood? Well, you have to understand and know that in Scripture, at those times, many times when a child had gone through puberty, and a child was in their early teens already, middle teens, they were considered an adult. Women would marry sometimes, 14, 15, 16 years old. That may be the idea of adulthood, but again, there's no definite time to that. But the point is this, maybe you wouldn't use the rod on your teenager. And I'm not saying that the Word of God demands that today. But often we can use the rod longer than maybe we think that we can. And that's true because the rod is not based on who is bigger. The rod is based on this truth. It's based on authority. Authority that God has given to parents. And we know too that when the rod is faithfully used when children are younger, many times they're not going to need that rod when they are a bit older. The rod especially is that which we must use with our children, our young children. The children as they're learning and growing and developing. So that when they are a bit older, they understand God's ways. And then maybe it takes some rebuke sometimes. And a word of admonishment. And an encouraging word. And they're turned from their sin and walking in a way that is pleasing to God. But the point is this. Even with teenagers, they must not be allowed to do what they want. They're living under your roof. Teenagers, you must understand that too. Your parents make rules for you. You may not like those rules, but they're the rules of your parents. They're the authority that God has placed in your home. You need that structure in your lives. You need that accountability in your lives. And if you disobey the rules of the home, there must be consequences. Parents, if your children disobey, there must be consequences. That's the point of the rod. There are consequences to disobedience. Something that hurts to teach and instruct in the way of holiness. So parents, the Word of God to us this morning is, withhold not correction from your children. It's put that way on purpose. It's put negatively on purpose. Withhold not correction from the child. Why is it put that way? Because God in His wisdom knows that many times we do and we would withhold correction, the correcting rod, from our children. God knows our sinful tendency for a variety of reasons to keep from spanking our children. Maybe sometimes we think we're too busy for it. Got all the other things going on. I don't have time for this right now. Or maybe we grow weary in it. We grow weary of spanking and correcting our children. And sometimes we think their children are so naughty that I would spend day after day spanking children constantly and I would never get anything else done. Well, maybe that's a bit extreme and embellishing it a bit. But understand, too, we have to see the bigger picture. And maybe if we've been lax, and we do grow lax in that, we have to catch ourselves in that. Maybe it's going to take a couple of rough days or maybe a rough week to get things back to where they should be in the home. But we have to see the bigger picture. If we don't do this, we have children that we're rearing that will end up rebellious and walking in the way of sin. There may be other reasons. Maybe we decide of ourselves it doesn't work. And often when parents say that it's not working, it's because they're not doing it in the right way. They're using their hand instead of the rod. They're not spanking hard enough. They're not doing it in the right way. They're in a rage when it happens. And their children react in rebellion against that. But the Word of God says that this must be done. In fact, parents, if you're not correcting your children with the rod when it's needed, this is sin. It's an issue of obedience to God. That's what we parents have to see this morning. It's an issue of obedience to God. It's not about what I think is the right way. It's obedience to God. And that's what we must teach our children. Why do I spank you? It really is painful for me. I don't want to have to do it. But God says I have to. God says this is the right way. To teach you that this way you're walking is a way of sin. We often say, and rightly so, our children are saved in spite of ourselves. That's true. Let's not use that as an excuse to justify our falling short in the correction that we must give to our children. God says, this must be done. This is the tool that God uses to train up our children so that they walk in His ways and love Him and fear Him. But the question as well along with this then is then how must the rod be administered? Well, there are two things that the Word of God shows us this morning about how the rod is to be administered. The first thing is this. The rod must be administered in love. Love for our children necessitates the use of the rod for the correction of our children. Yes, this is the way of love. That's important too because of what the world says today. Many in the world say, I love my child too much to spank him. The world in its concept of love is so corrupted that it thinks that to not correct, to keep from disciplining is the way of love. And it's exactly backwards. The Word of God says to us this morning, parents, do you love your children? Then you're going to discipline them. You're going to use the rod on them. We can fall very far short in that ourselves. So that in certain situations, maybe especially when we're in public, we try to use manipulation or bribery with our children. If you're quiet, I'll give you a piece of candy. If you do this, then I'll do this for you later. So easily we use manipulation and bribery in the instruction of our children. What do our children learn from that? They learn in the end that they're in control. They learn in the end that when they're naughty, they get things. They like that system of parenting. When they're naughty, they get things from their parents. But the point we must see this morning is that the rod is an emblem of love when administered in love. That's the truth that we read this morning in Hebrews 12. That has to do with our relationship with God, you see. We have to look beyond our children. We have to see our relationship with God. What does God our Father do with us when we sin? He chastises us. Why does He do that? He does that because He loves us. That's what we read this morning. Hebrews 12. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. That's the way we are to look at times at the afflictions of this life. Now, as we saw in the book of Job, that doesn't mean all afflictions are chastisement. But God does send chastisements to us at times when we are walking in ways of sin. Those chastisements will be connected with that way of sin. We will know it to be a chastisement from God. God chastens every one of His children to varying degrees. But the Word of God in Hebrews 12 is that these chastisements are an emblem of His grace and love. And chastisement, you see, is different than punishment. God doesn't punish us. All of the punishment for our sins has been poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There's no punishment for us because it's all been satisfied. When God chastises, He doesn't punish. It's not for retribution. It's not to get us back for what we've done to Him. But God's chastisement is always for this. It's always to correct. It's always to show us our error. It's to show us where we've been walking in sin. And it's to turn us to the way of obedience, to the right way before Him. That's the idea of God's chastisement in life. That's the idea of what we as parents are called to do in relationship to our children. We must reflect the love of God in the discipline of our children. And what this means then for us is that as parents, we must show in our discipline the love of God so that our children see in us God's love. Do they? Do your children see when you use the rod, do they see the love of God? For them to see that love of God, that means that this rod must be used in a right way. It must be used in a controlled and careful way. What I mean by that is that we must not lash out at our children. Our use of the rod must not go like this. Our child does something wrong, we say no. Maybe they stop for a few minutes, but then they go and do it again. No! And then they go and do it again, and we say, did you hear me? I said no. And then maybe a little while, they're back doing it again. By that time, we've lost it. We go up to them, maybe yank them up, take our hand right away, and give them a couple swats on the butt. Our children didn't, in that moment, see the love of God. They saw an angry parent. So easily that happens with us. We get frustrated with our children. And we ought not to, in that way. Why do we get frustrated with them? Because often, they're taking us away from the things that we want to do. Whether it's a mother and the housework that she has, or the cooking that she's doing, or whatever it may be. Or a father and in some of the things that he's doing. We don't want to take the time. We want children who are self-taught. But that's not the children that God gives to us. But the idea here is that we must be under control when we carry out the exercise of this rod of discipline. We must take the time, we must take the effort to explain to them why we spank them. We must take the time to go and get the spanking stick. That's one of the reasons why it's good to use a rod. If you have to go and get a rod from above the refrigerator or wherever you keep it, it takes a little time and you've got some time to think, especially if you're angry and in a rage. We must not carry out our discipline in a rage that's not reflecting the love of God. We must be controlled. We must not act in unbridled anger. We must be careful and mete out an exact chastisement for the sin that our children have committed. Always, the purpose then of this rod is to correct, to show them their wrong, and to lead them to the way of obedience. It's to point out to them, you've been walking in a way of disobedience to God. You're in great danger when you walk in disobedience to God. And this spanking is going to remind you that you must walk in obedience before God. For then things go well with you.
Our desire is that by the use of that rod, our children would be broken. Not physically, but spiritually broken. To see their sin, to be sorry for what they've done, and to have a desire to obey God. Now in that light, we often ask, the question may be asked, and parents have asked me that too, for what should we spank? Well, that's an important question for parents, and parents should talk about that. What are we going to spank our children for? What's a serious enough offense that we're going to use the rod of correction? There's one non-negotiable, I believe. The Scriptures teach us this outright. Now, one thing is for sure, that we as parents ought to spank our children for rebellion and disobedience. If children say no to you as parents, that should not be allowed. It's not just a warning. That must be stopped. And the children must be taught that they must not say that to mom and dad. So the rod must be used then. If our children go stomping off away when we tell them to do something, the rod ought to be used to teach them to obey God, to use that in a loving way with them. We must do it in that right way. But for that offense, especially, we must use the rod. So that our children in the end are not just taught to obey us, but the goal that we have as parents is that our children learn to obey God, their Savior. We do it in love. Along with the use of the rod in love, there must be instruction. That's the other important principle that we see from the text. This is the idea that's found in that word correction. Withhold not correction from the child. That word correction implies instruction that is given as well. That means that we must not spank our children without telling them why we are spanking them. Now, obviously, that idea has to do with when they understand those things and they come to a better understanding of those things. But even when they're young and we don't think they understand, it's certainly not going to hurt to sit down and explain to them why what they've done is wrong. There's one tendency we have, it's to wait too long to explain and teach. It doesn't hurt to start too early. We must give them instruction. To do this discipline without instruction would be like me standing up here just waving my arms around and giving you different facial expressions as I preach the word. You wouldn't understand what that's about. So also children, if they're not told what they've done is wrong and why it's wrong, it's like that. They will not have an understanding of it. All they'll see is anger. Maybe they'll just have fear. They need to be taught in a calm way by us as parents how they're walking in sin. These two things must always go together. The rod and instruction. We know that to be true from Proverbs 29 verse 15. It says there, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Rod and reproof. Reproof goes along with the rod. There may be some times that we give reproof without the rod. But the rod must never be administered without reproof, without words spoken to our children. Biblical discipline requires words. It requires communicating with our children clearly about why what they did is wrong. We use the word with that, and parents, we should. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, you may not say no to me. The Word of God says that you must obey me. Why? Because God's put me over you. So we explain to them about God. We explain to them what they've done is wrong and why it is wrong. We must deal with the heart issues with our children. And we must constantly remind children that they are spanked ultimately because they do not obey God. This is the way in which we are to communicate with our children. This is the way to express love to our children as well in the use of the rod. Part of that is this as well, explaining to our children that God demands that we use the rod. A spanking should end not with father and child or mother and child being angry at each other, so that one retreats to the room and the other retreats to another room in the house. That's not the way the spanking should end. Instead, it should end with an embrace, with father or mother explaining to the child their love for that child. We ought not to leave our children alone, leaving them to lick their wounds like a dog licks his sores. Then a child sees in that they're shunned, they're put away by parents, and they're not seeing the love of God in that. But we must explain to our children, and probably this is the best way it ought to go, that before we spank our children, we teach them what they did was wrong and why it is that we're going to spank them. Because if you spank them and they're crying and going on about that, it's very hard to speak to them and for them to hear you. To explain that, then administer the spanking, and then assure them of your love for them so that they see and know that every time that it's done. But along with that, we ought not to forget that belonging to this reproof and instruction is prayer. Parents, we need to pray. We need to pray that God would use the correction that's given to touch our children's heart, to turn them from their sinful ways. We can change their behavior somewhat by spankings, but we desire that God would work in their hearts. For that, we must pray. We need to pray for grace to discipline rightly. We need to pray for grace that we would reflect in our discipline the love of God. And we ought to pray with our children. That's an important part too. Pray with our children. At that very moment that we're disciplining them, let's go before God. Let's pray for forgiveness. Know that God forgives your sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray for grace that you can overcome this sin by the power of God's grace. And when we don't discipline our children correctly, we must communicate that to our children as well. Confessing our sins to them and asking them to forgive us. All this communication must be part of the exercise of the rod of correction. By the grace of God, there will be a blessed result to this correction. So we read in verse 14, "Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." We must be clear on that. This does not mean that we can save our children by discipline. That's not what that means. But what it means is that God, who is the God of sovereign grace, who saves children, He uses instruments to do that. He uses the instrument of parents to teach about Jesus Christ and the way of salvation and the way that children are to walk in obedience before Him. He uses the rod. God uses the rod that parents administer to teach and instruct children so that they are brought to repentance for their sin, so they're brought to see their need for the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. The point is here, God uses means. And the means that God uses is the rod and the instruction that goes with that rod. Therefore, the idea here is that we must administer discipline because we're concerned about the souls of our children. Our greatest concern is not that they behave so my life is easy. My greatest concern is not that my children don't embarrass me. My greatest concern is that my children know and love the Lord and desire to serve Him and walk in His ways. I understand I can't make them do that. That's the work of God. But I understand as well that God's given me a responsibility, a great calling and responsibility to teach, to instruct, and to administer the rod as well. And if we don't do that, it's to say really that we hate our children and we don't care if they suffer eternally in hell. Just so, life is easy for me. We must administer the rod in this loving, faithful way in a desire that God would use it to accomplish His purpose. That's part of the idea that you find as well in verse 13. We look at the pain that's inflicted upon children, and that does hurt us. If we truly love our children, we don't like to inflict pain upon our children. If they fall and scrape themselves, we feel bad for them. We don't want them to be hurt. If they're sick and they even have to go to the hospital, we don't want them to hurt. That goes against what we desire and want for our children, doesn't it? But verse 13 addresses that. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. This will not cause death to your children. This is how you address those who think it's cruel, who think it's unloving to spank your children. It's not. In fact, this is the loving way. If one of my children wandered down to 32nd Street and I followed them and I saw that they're ready to go out on the road and there were cars coming across in the other lanes, and I had to quick push that child out of the way, and the result of that was maybe their arm and their leg got all scraped up, would anybody come to me and say, "You've abused your child. Your child got all scraped up when you pushed that child out of the way"? Of course not. Because they were just taken from being killed by a car that was heading straight for them on the road. That's what we do when we discipline our children. We're warning them of the danger that is to come if they continue in the way of sin. It doesn't kill them. In fact, God uses that by His grace for the good of our covenant children. We must have that concern for our children, that we discipline them in love and a concern for their souls. And Hebrews 12 says, that yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's the blessing of administering the rod of correction in the right way. God uses it so that our children are turned from their sin and walk more and more in righteousness before God. That's what we desire. And that's the blessing that God places upon the use of the rod in our covenant children. So may God use this word to give us a great urgency in our hearts to discipline our children, to teach them the way of obedience, to teach them about the cross of Jesus Christ, so that in and through us, our children see and know the love of God. And may God use this to bless our homes, that there will be that peaceable fruit of righteousness by His sovereign grace. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask for grace, much grace, that we as parents in these days in which we live would be faithful in using the rod of correction. Where we have done that wrongly, where we have not used it when we should have, forgive us. Where we have done it wrongly, in anger and in unvented rage, forgive us. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt use the Word this morning to encourage us to teach and instruct and to use the rod in a right way, to reflect the love that Thou dost show to us, when Thou dost chastise us for our many sins. We ask, Father, Thou assure us of forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ, but also give us much grace to be faithful and obedient as parents, and use this, Father, to bless the hearts and the lives of our children, that they would know Thy grace and mercy and love in Jesus Christ, and they would have a stronger desire day by day and year by year to walk in Thy ways. All this we pray, knowing and confessing that we are saved by grace and by grace alone. In Jesus' name do we ask all these things. Amen.